Hey there, America, and we are back. Welcome or welcome back only, True Democracy in Talk Radio. Our guest in this hour is a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He currently hosts the Washington-based radio and television talk show The Inside Scoop and The Raucous Caucus on Pacifica Radio WPFW 89.3 FM. He also frequently appears on national television, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC, and he's tangled with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to his Pacifica co-host on the left, including me. He is somebody that you know and love, and so do we. We love him personally and professionally. This is a man who is a great host of his own show, but he hosts so well that we trust him to sit in for me, and we are deeply grateful at the job that he does, and everybody here loves you. I think you're definitely our favorite and their favorite fill-in, or I'm going to get in trouble if some of the other fill-ins are listening. But Mark Levine joins us in this hour. I'm more than glad to have him with us because I always learn a lot when Mark is on, truly, and I know that you do as well. And even though we're both liberals, I'm not an attorney. I did not serve on these committees. And even though I love Washington and, you know, Mark and I have broken bread there a couple of times, certainly I have not worked, alongside these congressional members or on these committees that Mark has. Mark, more than a pleasure to have you with us. Good evening. How are you?
It's always a pleasure to be here, Leslie. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure to have you with us, sweetie. You know what? We have... I say a wet dream for Republicans taking place.
They certainly do.
Yeah. So let's break it down. There are three huge things, and I think Americans are somewhat who are less informed, even confused so much that I even tripped over my words earlier this week, tying the IRS to the AP because I think I was so exhausted with it all. But let's talk the and we'll talk, you know, like uno, dos, tres, but I'm going to do it just very quickly. And what I want to talk about, I have some specific questions for you legally, but I also want to talk about politically and, you know, how much is this politicizing both on the right and the left? OK, first of all, a lot of people outraged. The Constitution clearly states in the First Amendment that there's freedom of the press. Normally, when an attorney general and a Department of Justice require to have any records of the press, they'll request them. They'll give a call, a head up, you know, to them. Hey, this is what we need. This is what we're seeking out. That didn't happen with the phone records that the at the request of the president obtained. We will talk more about that. And of course, a lot of people, you know, up in arms about that and, you know, talking about McCarthyism, a dictatorship, et cetera. Two, the IRS. The IRS, clearly the president has said, screwed up. We now have the interim head of the IRS that's been booted out, and that this will be the first of heads rolling, I paraphrase, so says the president. And even Democrats have stood alongside Republicans with this. But of course, it does look very political. We'll get to that as well. And of course, you have Benghazi and the ongoing battle of Benghazi. Republicans constantly trying to blame the president for the deaths of the ambassador and the three other embassy workers, as well as former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. And every day that goes by, it seems more and more comes out to weaken their arguments. So which one should we start with? Should we start with AP, IRS, or Benghazi?
I'll start with any of the three. My short answer is all three are much less scandalous than might originally appear. All three. But you can start anywhere you want.
Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. There. Well, you know what? Well, we have less than a minute, so let's leave all of our listeners salivating. I'm into all the wetness tonight, salivation. And
all three have a little something wrong with them, but far, far less has been played up in the media or by Republicans.
Okay, well, order them while we take the break, sweetie, as to your first, second, and last favorite, or you can do it the other way, your least favorite up to the, most favorite.
We're going to IRS, because I think that's the one that's gotten the most press.
Okay, well, we'll start with IRS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with our guest. Sits in for me here, a good friend of mine, and an excellent talk show host on radio and television. I've been on the O'Reilly Factor with him on Fox News Channel. And during the break, I really wish you would follow him on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk and check out his website, marklevinetalk.com. We'll be back with him. We'll be back with you right after this. Don't go away. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. You know, we're busy people, right? We have a lot of work to do. We have appointments, yet we have family commitments. And sometimes trying to find the time to get caught up at the office can seem nearly impossible. But you know what? It's not. It's not impossible. If you use GoToMyPC by Citrix, you can get caught up at the office. You can make those appointments and those family commitments because GoToMyPC allows you to securely access your entire office computer from wherever you are, using a Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. GoToMyPC allows you to do whatever you would do, send or edit a file just like you were sitting at your desk. So you can actually be at work from anywhere, even from home. GoToMyPC gives you the freedom to work anywhere, anytime, and it also is so easy to use, it sets up in minutes. I love my GoToMyPC so much, I want to share it with you. So try GoToMyPC free today. There's a special 45-day free trial just for you, my listeners. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Leslie, my first name, L-E-S-L-I-E, and then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com, Try It Free, promo code L-E-S-L-I-E. Talking tonight with former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, Mark Levine, who currently hosts the Washington-based radio and television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and The Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Please follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk. Check out his website, marklevinetalk.com, and check him out sitting in for me right here on The Leslie Marshall Show tomorrow night. But I'm very glad that he's on with me tonight, a guest in this hour, because there are many times subjects like this come up, and you can ask Marky Mark and Zach ZQ that I will say to them, I wonder what Mark Levine would say about this. And then Mark was like, why don't we have him on so we can ask him? So let's start with the IRS scandal. First of all,
let's
you said
that. Let me just give a quick announcement, though, that tomorrow I have people from Syria risking their lives to come on your show, Leslie, talking about the situation there. So it'll be a really powerful show tomorrow.
And that's awesome. Have you told them that you're Jewish? No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry. I'm bad.
No,
I
no, no. They
that.
Know and they're good. The people that are fighting Assad actually are most of them are very good, solid, decent people. But
that sounds good. Okay, so let's start with the IRS. Now, you had said before the break when I mentioned APIRS and Benghazi that they're all, in a sense, overblown and all not
yes.
as big a deal as Republicans are making them out to be.
That's correct. They're all small deal, and I'll talk about the small deal in all three of them, but they're not a big deal. I just want to start with the IRS because I think that's the one that most Americans are upset about. The president seems to be most upset about. Obviously, he just fired the acting director of the IRS today. They're doing a criminal investigation. And yet I still think it's way overblown. And the reason is, frankly, it's very easy to say, the IRS shouldn't be targeting conservatives. And that's a great talking point. But people need to know what exactly the IRS is doing. And again, I don't know all the facts, but I do know the law. So let's first of all talk about what a 501c4 is, because you got to understand this stuff to know exactly what the IRS was doing. So in the code, in the U.S. code, it's Title 18, there's a section 501c4. Title 18 is the code that deals with all federal income tax. Actually, deals with all taxation, but specifically with the and 501c4 deals with tax exempt organizations. So, for example, you got your churches and your synagogues and your mosques, religious institutions. We all know don't have to pay taxes. Well, there's this law that's been around since 1913, which, not coincidentally, is the year that the 16th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, the year that actually the federal government began collecting income taxes. And that same year, the Congress of that year, 100 years ago, hey, it's an anniversary, 100 years ago this year, the Congress said that social welfare organizations don't have to pay taxes. And it specifically says, and I'm quoting now from 501c4, civic leagues or organizations not organized for profit but operated exclusively for the promotion of social welfare don't have to pay taxes. So the question is, what is an organization operating exclusively for the promotion of social welfare?
Right.
And the IRS gives a lot of examples that have been approved, you know, in the 50s and the 60s. And for example, you have a community building public housing, or one that wants a stadium, or you've got an organization that's trying to help individuals deal with debt, or build a roller skating rink, or maybe something for protection of animals. You get the idea. Build a park, beautify a riverside. That's the kind of thing that the IRS gives an example of. And this was really non-controversial, and people didn't really notice this provision in the code for almost 100 years. Then comes the Citizens United case. In the Citizens United case, the Supreme Court says for the first time, guess what? You can have anonymous donors donate as much as they want for political campaigns. Okay, that's bad. And we've talked a lot about Citizens United. That's a very bad thing to have people we can't even follow donate to political campaigns. But the only thing that can make it worse would be to have these anonymous donors get tax-exempt status. Because you all know if you give to Obama for America, you don't get a tax write-off for that. Political donations have never been something you get a tax write-off for. So Karl Rove and others comes up with this great idea. We're going to use this old provision of the code, these 501c4s, and we're going to claim that all our Crossroads GPS, you know the thing, those super PACs that funneled millions and millions of dollars into all these campaigns, we're not only going to get anonymous donors for political purposes, but we're going to get it all tax exempt. And we're going to shoehorn it into this 100-year-old provision. So really, my big argument with IRS is not that they did too much, they did too little. Because it seems to me that a Tea Party group is not primarily a social welfare organization. I would argue that a Tea Party group is actually primarily a political organization. And if you think that the Tea Party is not political at all, well, then the IRS probably did something wrong. But I would say Tea Party is pretty political, and their goal was to elect Republicans to office.
Mark, take a breath because you have so much information. I just want to jump in and ask some questions. One, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this what some people who are against Citizens United, regardless of their ideology, were concerned about with abuse?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. There's a lot of abuse. The real thing the IRS did wrong, I'll get right to the chase because I was giving the long story. The short answer.
No, I know. I want the long story, and because I want. I not only do I want to hear it, I want all of our listeners to hear it and understand it because they don't get that. You know, certainly on television, when someone like you or I, is debating a conservative, and you have 7 minutes, and people are talking over you, or even in a talk show, and that's what's great about long form talk. We have the ability to present the facts fully,
exactly,
rather than in a soundbite. So please do.
Okay. Well, so to finish, so that's what 501c4 is. All right. So what happens is after Citizens United, the IRS starts drowning with a whole bunch of organizations filing for this tax-exempt status. Now, what's interesting is you don't have to file for tax-exempt status. It's not even required by law. Basically, you just do what you want to do, and you file your taxes, and then the IRS could later determine that you were improperly politicking and therefore should get tax-exempt status. But you can, if you want, get a preclearance, as it were. You can go to the IRS and say, hey, we want to make sure that we're not going to have to pay taxes so that when we don't pay them, you don't come and complain later. So these were these preclearance things, and what you'll find is that a number of people who filed after Citizens United more than doubled. It went from about less than 1,500 to about 3,500. And so they were pretty much overwhelmed. And most of the filings, you remember 2010, 2011, they were from people like Tea Party groups, conservative groups.
But that's what I wanted to ask you, too, because I constantly have said this since this occurred in the past 48 hours. If you have 200 applications and 199 of them are from conservative organizations like the Tea Party, then maybe this is not as not only politically motivated, as it is. Also, a question that I have and many people have is why does the IRS have that type of power? I understand to count the beans. That's what IRS does. But why do they have political power? Shouldn't they have and shouldn't the power be in the hands of Congress with something like this? So that not saying that the IRS didn't do anything wrong. I didn't see what the president saw, and the president saw the report and clearly feels that something was wrong here, and like he needs another headache and more to deal with than more on his plate this week alone. But the IRS simply could have approached Congress, made a phone call to somebody, and say, what the hell do I do with this? I mean, one, they're understaffed. And I hate the IRS, so I'm happy about that. I got a letter from the IRS today saying you didn't file your taxes for 2011. Yes, we did. I wanted to write back. I think you have enough on your plate. Leave me alone. And notice their computers still spit all that stuff out. But they're understaffed. They did not deny these applications or requests.
That's
and some
correct.
People said maybe they just should have. But technically, the criteria was met in a sense, but I'm glad that you brought up social welfare. Senator Harry Reid mentioned social welfare, and I know some Americans weren't clear on that because he didn't explain it as you did and when he was talking, and he was very angry. So wouldn't the IRS have been within its right to deny any think tank left or right, and not just think tank, but these super PACs, of which there are many more conservative groups?
Absolutely. If anything, the IRS was too weak here. The crime, if there's a crime, that the thing the IRS did wrong was not, in my view, in targeting these Tea Party groups. The thing they did wrong was in not targeting everybody, including some liberal groups. If they had simply, and there may have been, as you say, 199 Tea Party and three progressive groups, they should have looked with anybody with either Tea Party or progressive in the name. They should have been fierce. They should have denied most of these. And then I would have been very happy, and no one could argue they did anything political. But because the Tea Party...
Let me ask you this. Is there, and I'm not defending the IRS, I'm asking based on pure curiosity. If I am there's so many offshoots of the Tea Party.
Right.
But some of those funds are shared by these various groups. I mean, there's Tea Party Express, etc. But, I mean, if the Koch brothers write a check, that trickles down to some of these other groups. So isn't the IRS correct, not in singling out, but if you have a lot of groups that are with Patriot in them, and you don't want duplicates, you know what I mean? In other words, you don't want to be, if you're one organization and you have one tax-exempt status, you don't necessarily, you know, you shouldn't be approved for each application for those organizations within them unless they have separate individual tax ID numbers, correct?
That's right.
So
here's what Cincinnati did. Just the lion's share of what they did, they get all these applications in, it more than doubles, and they single out about 10%, about 300, for a special look for some reason. And what they find is a lot of these are new political organizations that have never been formed before, the Tea Party of Kansas City and the Tea Party of Iowa, and they found that a number of the people that call themselves Tea Parties haven't filled their forms out correctly and basically aren't doing the right thing. So they do that, they start putting them in, and then some bureaucrat, here's where the mistake is made, some bureaucrat says, you know what, we found so many with the name Tea Party in it that applications are wrong, take a special look out for the ones with Tea Party, because the ones that have Tea Party tend to be wrong, whereas the ones for established organizations that have existed for 50 years, social welfare organizations to beautify the park, they tend to be right. So just give a closer look to those, and that's where the mistake happened. And that's where they did, you know what they did? They did conservative profiling. What they did is they said, this is like a street corner where you got, you know, 30 young black teenagers, and we've got one old white woman with the cane. They have to check everybody. And they didn't check everybody, even though it was much more likely the conservatives were making the mistake. They should have checked some progressive groups, too. That's what they did wrong. And it was wrong. But again, it's a lot less than people might think. Only 75 of the 300 were Tea Party groups, and not a single one of them, in the end, was denied. A few withdrew, but that was it. So it's a lot smaller scandal than it appears at first blush.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Mark Levine. He's sitting in for me tomorrow night. And please follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk. I'm Leslie Marshall. Quick break. Back to you. Back to our guest right after this. Right now, we are talking about one of three issues, and the first is the IRS. And, you know, he outlined it entirely. And I love when my things that make me go, are right on, because, you know, based on what Mark said, because, again, like I said, if you have 200 applications and, you know, 195 of them are from conservative groups, is it that you're targeting the conservative groups, or you're targeting these organizations that have come about because of a new law, and you really don't know how to process them based on that? And again, not trying to defend the IRS, but, you know, got to separate reality from rumor, right? We'll be back with our guest with you right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. We're all so busy, so much work to do, so many places to be, and that is why I use GoToMyPC by Citrix. So should you. It'll allow you to securely access your entire office computer from wherever you are, any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. And with GoToMyPC, you can use any program just like you were sitting at your own desk. You can be at work from anywhere, even from home. GoToMyPC is so easy, it sets up in minutes, and it gives you the freedom to work anywhere, anytime, including off your mobile device. Try GoToMyPC free today. There's a special 45-day free trial just for you, my listeners. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Leslie, my first name, L-E-S-L-I-E, and then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com, Try It Free, promo code Leslie. Justin Duckham joins us live from Talk Radio News Service in our nation's capital. Justin, good evening and welcome. Let's talk about it's a very nice way to say resignation, you will give us your resignation and we'll save you the face of being fired. I guess you'd rather be fired because you could collect unemployment, but the IRS has one less interim leader today.
Yes, they do. And, to use that little Washington euphemism, Obama asked for his resignation. And when the president asks for that, you do not say no. Stephen Miller is going to be leaving the administration as of June. We do not yet know who the replacement is going to be. But this, of course, is in tangent to the IRS scandal, wherein he apparently knew about it. He may not have been the director when it was going on back in 2010, but apparently he did not do enough in the administration's eyes to notify Congress or the White House for what was really a booming scandal on the rise.
You know, looking at the stuff coming out, though, Justin, I have to question, the only group turned down was a liberal organization. And in addition to that, the majority after Citizens United of super PACs that are out there trying to obtain the status are conservative. So, I mean, do you think this guy has been, fired because he broke the law, or he's been fired because, it was political pressure for something to be done like that?
Oh, well, there certainly was political pressure. And just going back to your original point, the idea of 501(c)(4)s and whether they or not they should be given tax-exempt status is a much larger debate. We do know that a lot of these groups kind of skirt the law. But nevertheless, the IRS is not supposed to be going after certain groups based on what could be perceived as ideology. And, the optics of that is certainly not good. So this is a bad scandal in the sense that it makes the administration look very petty, and it's not surprising that someone was fired for it.
Yeah, and clearly that Democrats didn't, favor this, and the president didn't make the call to have this take place at the IRS. I think that is the least of his worries. Let's talk about the AP. A lot of people angry. People cite the First Amendment in the Constitution. But as Commander-in-Chief, the president did not break any laws, and technically, some would say, didn't even stomp on the Constitution because he and the Attorney General were working in the interest of national security.
No, this is certainly a free speech issue, of course, but there is no evidence that any law was broken. We know in the past that there have been some calls for some stronger media shields to ensure that this could not happen. And in fact, today we are seeing an additional call coming from the White House to Senator Chuck Schumer asking for a media shield law to be passed. However, what we know is that this law is relatively weak and would only prevent the administration from going after those who commit leaks if it commits a pure, visible national security risk. And that is what the administration says the AP story that prompted all of this is. So, we are seeing a response from the White House, but we aren't seeing anything that would have made what they did a few months ago illegal.
Yeah, this is one I think a lot of people are torn on because we want to be safe. And I think a lot of Americans, even Republicans, even though they wouldn't admit it, feel like by any means necessary when you think how much they love things like the Patriot Act. Speaking of the media shield law, Republicans didn't really like or vote for that.
No, they did not. The last time it was around, we saw a lot of the Republicans who are sort of making waves about it this time vote against it. It was filibustered in the Senate. If you really listen closely to a lot of the Republican talking points, they are angry, but they're not necessarily angry that there is an aggressive investigation going after a national security leak. This is something that plenty of them actually called for, a robust look at which reporters and which White House officials are potentially putting national security at risk.
So they can't have it both ways, but any chance to try and smear the president, kind of funny, Republicans standing alongside their liberal media, right?
That's certainly what it looks like.
Okay, Justin Duckham, good to have you with us, buddy. Talk Radio News Service, White House and Washington correspondent, live from our nation's capital. I'm Leslie Marshall. More to come on the only true democracy in talk radio. Here to set you free. Good evening, America. I'm Leslie Marshall, and this is the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Hey, we're live on the radio nationwide, and we're streaming live throughout the world on the World Wide Web. Check it out, LeslieMarshallShow.com/stream. And we stream live when we broadcast live Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We're also carried on every military base out throughout the world on the American Armed Forces Radio Network. We're carried on the Progressive Voices Network. We're carried on TuneIn, and we have apps on iTunes under the Progressive Voices app. Also, Leslie Marshall Show highlights. Those are available at iTunes. Podcasts, well, those are commercial free. They're iPad, iPhone, iPod, and MP3 compatible. And those are available via subscription. You can subscribe by becoming a Leslie Marshall Show member. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members and sign up today. In this hour, we have a great guest, a friend of ours, a friend of the show, and a friend of yours if you listen to the show enough. He sits in for me here. He's great at what he does. I'll tell you all about him and what we're talking about in this hour in just a moment. But keep in mind, when we have a guest, we encourage you to join us, as it is a talk show, with your opinions, your comments, your questions, your concerns. And you can talk to us by giving us a buzz at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Some of you are a little shy, or you want to join the conversation but can't call, you're at work or a bit busy, but you've got your fingers handy, you can tweet us. Follow me on Twitter, at Leslie Marshall, and we'll incorporate your tweet, comments, questions, etc. into the show. That's at Leslie Marshall. You can send us a Facebook message, like our fan page. We have too many friends, and I don't know most of them. They're fans. So just become a fan by going to our fan page, facebook.com/TheLeslieMarshallShow. And you can also send an email through the contact page on our website, LeslieMarshallShow.com. Just click on that contact tab. In this hour, a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, Mark Levine is our host in this hour with me, co-hosting, and in addition, he's sitting in for me tomorrow night. But he hosts his own talk show. It is out of Washington, D.C. It's a great radio show. It's also a television talk show, and it's called The Inside Scoop. He also has The Ruckus Caucus, another talk show on Pacifica Radio, heard throughout the Beltway on WPFW 89.3 FM. You can catch Mark on TV as well on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC. He's tangled with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to Leslie Marshall on the left, to his Pacifica co-host on the left as well. More than a pleasure to have with us and joining us once again, and we always love having him on. Somebody gives us a great political perspective, a legal perspective, and teaches us and challenges us, and will challenge you, and we do invite you to call with your questions or challenges tonight if you disagree with anything that Mark or I say. Keep in mind, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Mark, good evening and welcome.
Thank you. So let's finish the IRS.
Well, so that people know, let's get them caught up, because some people carry the hours, sure, in different, you know. Mark is joining us in 2 hours tonight. We're talking about the big three, you want to say, the scandals for the president right now, the IRS, AP, and Benghazi. And we were talking about the IRS, and to recap, in last hour, Mark explained what a 501c form is under Title 18. He also explained what social welfare is and how it's supposed to, you know, benefit the social welfare of Americans in the country, as Senator Harry Reid referred to. We also found that the majority after Citizens United ruling passed of applications were from conservative groups, because the majority of these CPACs are, you know, from conservative, you know, groups, super PACs, excuse me, are from conservative groups. And that nobody was declined who was conservative. Interestingly enough, though, Mark, there was an application that was denied, and that was a liberal organization.
Interesting. I did not know that little part of it.
Yes, and I actually can thank Marky Mark for that one.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Let me share this with you. And this was on a few different places, but basically, the groups like the Tea Party, applying for tax-exempt status for scrutiny. The Republicans, obviously, are milking this, but the fact is there were liberal groups that were targeted as well, and there was only one group to have its application denied. It was a liberal group. It's called Emerge America. They saw its tax-exempt status denied, and it forced it to disclose its donors and pay some taxes. And, of course, none of the Republican groups have said their applications were rejected. Progress Texas, by the way, another of the organizations, faced the same lines of questioning as the Tea Party groups from the same IRS office that issued letters to the Republican-friendly applicants. And there was a third group, Clean Elections Texas, which supports public funding of campaigns, also received IRS inquiries. So it wasn't all right organizations that were targeted. And as a matter of fact, Emerge America, a liberal group, actually had its tax-exempt status denied.
very interesting. So here's what we know. We know that the IRS was getting this bombarding of requests, more than double what they ever had before. They didn't have the personnel to do it all. So they stuck it all in their Cincinnati office. They centralized it. They happened to pick Cincinnati. And Cincinnati started going through these things. Now, again, the law says that these organizations have to be exclusively for the promotion of social welfare, which means that they can't be political. They can't be about electing somebody. They have to be about beautifying a park or building a stadium or erecting low-cost housing, things like that.
But wait a minute. If that's the case, then all of these groups left or right should be denied.
So here's what the IRS did. They decided to give most of these groups the benefit of the doubt, and they sort of reinterpreted the statute in a way that I think is wrong. They said that rather, even though the statute says it has to be exclusively for social welfare, the IRS interpreted that. They said, well, as long as it's primarily for social welfare, they're okay. And they find primarily as being 50.1% or a little or more than half. Now, I don't know about you, Leslie, but I consider the word exclusively and primarily to be very different words. One is 100% and one is mostly. But for whatever reason, and this is, by the way, predates the current IRS. This goes back some decades when, I guess, before Citizens United, before we had all these people go in and try to influence elections, I guess they were trying to help out these organizations. For whatever reason, and it hasn't been challenged, and it's actually not easy to challenge legally, they say, all right, we're not going to require you to be exclusively non-political. We just want you to be primarily non-political. Now, I would argue, frankly, that Tea Party organizations and progressive organizations are primarily political. But it's a lot harder to make the argument of whether you're 49% political or 51% political. So actually, this redefinition of the statute made the IRS job a lot harder for itself, frankly. But it was done several years back, and they haven't changed that view since. So they take all these things into Cincinnati, and in fact, the woman in charge of this branch of the IRS, a woman named Lois Lerner, is known for being scrupulously non-political and had several different seminars explaining to people that you can't base anything on the politics. You can look and see whether something's political or not. In fact, you're required to by law because the political ones don't get the tax exemption, but you can't look at whether it's left or right or libertarian or independent or Democratic or Republican.
I want to go back to something you said when you talk about the distinguishing between groups that the IRS is tasked with, if they're primarily engaged in politics, as you were talking about, versus those that are primarily engaged in social welfare. So my question is, why would the IRS be tasked with that task? That should not be in there. You know what I mean? I think they
Congress passed a law that said that if you're a social welfare program, a social welfare organization, if you're trying to beautify a park, then you are nonprofit and you're not taxed just like a church isn't taxed. And that law has been on the books for 100 years. And that law actually makes sense to me. If you're beautifying a park, we're not going to make you pay taxes like we would if you were a corporation trying to make a profit or you were a political campaign or something like that. Congress has decided, and I think it makes sense, that if you're trying to influence a political campaign, you don't get a tax-exempt status for that. Because what's tax-exempt status? Basically, you're saying that the public thinks you're doing good, and so we don't want to make you pay taxes. We don't make churches pay taxes because of the separation of church and state. We don't make non-profit...
But wait a minute. The Tea Party clearly, and we know other organizations as well, but the Tea Party clearly has financed and backed candidates in the past.
Exactly.
And they're going to in the future. We know that the Tea Party has paid lobbyists with money that they get from the Koch brothers and other organizations to filibuster, to block legislation. Hello, guns. Gun control would be an example of that. Republicans better shut their mouths because it's really their organizations that are going to be exposed to the world for how political and how influential they are in elections. And quite frankly, they must be aware of this. If we are, Mark, that this is going to backfire on them if they don't back off.
Well, no, I don't think it will backfire on them, because my argument is that the IRS did not do too much. They did too little. They should have targeted not only the Tea Party, which they certainly should have targeted, but they should have targeted liberal and progressive groups. And apparently, according to Mark Romaldi, they actually did deny one of them. And I think actually they did. What they did is they did a little shortcutting. They had very little staff. They had more than doubling of applications. And they said, you know what? When we get these Tea Party things in, we know that's political. The beautify the park near the St. Louis Arch probably is going to be okay. We don't have to give that as much scrutiny. Tea Party, that's likely to be political. And you know what? Tea Party is likely to be political. All they had to do was including in their list of Tea Party and Patriot and other terms.
But wait a minute. Patriotic millionaires are liberals.
Right. What they should have done is they should have included liberal catchwords, too. If they had simply added the word progressive to the word Tea Party, then this should not be a scandal at all, and they should knock all those political organizations out. Again, the argument for me is not that they did too much, but they did too little. If they should have gone after everyone, and they should have knocked most of these Tea Party groups out.
Absolutely crazy. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to move on to AP because I want to get to that. I have some definite questions for you regarding what was done regarding the Constitution, which I know you know better than me, and regarding the legality, the Patriot Act, etc. We'll talk about that. When we come back, by the way, if you want to join us, maybe I'll share some of your tweets as well. You can also follow me on Twitter at Leslie Marshall. By the way, follow Mark as well while you're sitting there at your keyboard at Mark Levine Talk. That's L-E-V-I-N-E, not to be confused with that right-wing talk show host. I'm Leslie Marshall, back with Mark Levine, my buddy sitting in for me tomorrow night right here, who hosts his own radio show and television show, The Inside Scoop, out of Washington, D.C., along with the Ruckus Caucus. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk, and follow me, at Leslie Marshall, so you can tweet us during the program. But give us a buzz. Phone lines are open for you if you have questions or comments. We are talking about the big three scandals that have hit Washington and the feet of President Barack Obama and his administration. We just finished talking about IRS, and next we will be talking about the Department of Justice and some phone records that they obtained from the Associated Press. A lot of people of the press and a lot of people left and right angry. But why was it done? Were any laws broken? What's the Patriot Act say? What's the Constitution say? And of course, what's Mark Levine going to say about it? We'll tell you right after this. I'm Leslie Marshall. Don't go away. 888-6-LESLIE. 888-653-7543 is the number. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Back to you right after this. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. Only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. My buddy Mark Levine is in the house. He is also the host of The Inside Scoop, along with the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome back. Well, let's talk about Associated Press, because I've been dying to ask you these questions.
Okay. I just real quick on IRS.
Yes.
There's one more issue that I didn't mention. I just need to mention it. The question of who knew what when. The main reason why Obama did fire the acting commissioner, and by the way, the commissioner that was there before when this stuff happened was actually appointed by George Bush. That was Don Shulman. But the new guy got in and apparently was informed that this had happened, and the question, he didn't tell Congress like he should have, and that's why he was fired. So
you know,
one last issue in here.
Go ahead.
Ask about AP.
Guys, and if you can start tweeting regarding AP if you haven't already, but we do have some tweets on the IRS I did want to share. Scott tweeted, time for a special prosecutor, put people under oath and send people to jail. Are there offenses that could lead to that? And would you agree a special prosecutor, or do you think, like, you know, firing people as it seems is happening is enough?
They took a shortcut. All they had to do was add the word progressive to the list of Tea Party and Patriot and all of that, and they'd have done nothing wrong. They shouldn't have taken the shortcut. It's true. Maybe someone should be fired. I think that Obama is actually making a bigger deal out of this than it actually there to satisfy the Republicans. But the real mistake was they definitely should have informed Congress when they asked about this that it happened, and they didn't. And for that, that's why Acting Commissioner Miller was fired.
Well, you know, the other thing I have to say that, you know, really bothers me about this is not President Obama that point, you know, called the IRS and said, hey, I want you to do this. There's no question he, you know, and everyone else, you know, says it's wrong. But I see on Twitter, all over Twitter, I wouldn't even share them, how, you know, the Democrats did this. We don't.
These were career officials at the IRS.
Right.
So, and as Mark Grimaldi pointed out, they actually denied it to a liberal organization. They took some shortcuts by putting down names of organizations that are likely to be political, like Tea Party, which I think is likely to be political, unlike Beautify My National Park. They should have had left-wing organizations as well as right-wing, and if they'd done that, they would have done nothing wrong.
No, absolutely. And when Mark Levine, our guest, speaks of career officials, what he's basically saying is these folks have their job, whether it's a Republican president or a Democratic president. So we don't know if this guy that was fired is a lifelong Democrat. And if he did I don't think he did anything, you know, due to his allegiance to the president. The president's already been reelected. There is no reelection for the president. If anything, this hurts the president. It doesn't help him. One could actually argue that he was a mole for Republicans.
The guy that was fired became acting commissioner after these events were no longer taking place. They took place under George Bush's commissioner, Don Shulman, who ended his term in November 2012.
So this happened under Don Shulman.
Okay. That's correct. Okay. But the thing that Miller did that was wrong is Miller apparently knew about it and didn't tell Congress like he should have. So he did do something wrong. It was, if you will, the cover-up, not the original problem that was the mistake.
All right, we're going to take a break. You know that's our short thing. Now, when we come back, we can't talk IRS anymore because I got to get to AP and Benghazi. We're going to be back with our guest, Mark Levine, host of The Inside Scoop and The Ruckus Caucus. The Inside Scoop, by the way, is on both radio and television out of Washington, D.C., and The Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Catch him also on TV, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, and CNBC. And be sure to check out his website, marklevinetalk.com, and follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk. We'll be back with him and you right after this. Don't go away. And I heard this on a national radio show today. Do you know every week I hear somebody stealing our theme music? I'm serious, our bumper music. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. Are you a busy guy or gal? I hear you and I feel your pain if you're thinking, Leslie, I do not know how I'm going to find the time to get caught up at the office. It seems impossible. I got to travel for business. I have appointments. I have family commitments. Well, you know what, my friend? I feel your pain, but I don't have that pain anymore. Because the doctor for me is Go to My PC by Citrix. You should check it out. You can securely access your entire office computer from your wherever you are, from your Mac, your PC, your tablet, or your smartphone. And you know what? With Go to My PC, you can use any program. You can edit a file. You can send a file. You can do anything that you would do on your computer just like you were sitting right there at your desk in your office. But you don't have to be at work because you can be anywhere. Having a latte, you can be at work. Sitting at home, you can be at work. Go to My PC is so easy to use, it sets up in minutes. And Go to My PC will give you the freedom because making the workplace any space that you occupy at any time, including right there from your mobile device, that's priceless. Try Go to My PC free today. There's a special 45-day free trial just for you, my listeners. Visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Leslie, my first name, L-E-S-L-I-E, and then download the free app to your mobile device. Once again, that is gotomypc.com, Try It Free, promo code L-E-S-L-I-E. In this hour, if you want to join us, we only have half of the hour left. We're going to be talking first about AP and then about Benghazi. We want to hear from you tonight. Our guest is Mark Levine. He's sitting in for me tomorrow night as well. Most of you know him as not only a guest on this show, but somebody who fills in and does an incredible job guest hosting the program, as well as hosting his own programs, The Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio in D.C., and The Inside Scoop on radio and television out of Washington. Pick up the phone and join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. That's our phone number. Tweet us on Twitter. Follow us there at Leslie Marshall to tweet us during the show. You can send us an email, do all that other stuff. But let's get to it. And Mark Levine, thanks for holding, buddy, and welcome back. Let's first talk about the Associated Press, okay?
Sure.
And I need to understand this, okay? I know what the First Amendment says. And I know as a member of the press that I love that freedom. And that First Amendment is something no other country has. And of course, we have freedom of religion, but we do have freedom of speech and freedom of the press in the First Amendment as well. On the other side, the President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, his first responsibility as Commander-in-Chief is to protect this nation. And that comes under the umbrella of national security. First of all, were any laws broken by what the president asked the Department of Justice to do? And did, in fact, the Department of Justice trample on the constitutional rights of the Associated Press? Or is this a fine gray area due to national security and due to the fact that they were specifically requesting information that regarding a link that a leak that potentially could have harmed Americans abroad or here, and that was allegedly linked with terrorist activity in Yemen?
First of all, it's a very gray area. Second of all, no laws were broken except perhaps that First Amendment, which is what for the courts to decide. But no laws were broken because we don't have a national press shield law in the United States. Democrats have proposed one. Republicans have opposed it. And ironically, President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder support a press shield law. The question is whether or not the policies of the Justice Department were followed or not. That's the standard. It's the standard that's been in place ever since the Pentagon Papers and the Vietnam War in 1971. And I actually think, if you look at them carefully, the Associated Press has the better argument, and the Justice Department policies weren't followed. But that's not illegal so much as it would be a slap in the face, and they did wrong. And I think they did do wrong. Let me quickly explain. So there's four policies of when the – there's four – standards, rules, as it were, the government uses to see whether or not they can actually go over after the press. And, of course, it should be very rare and extraordinary, and it should almost never be used. Unfortunately, George Bush went in and looked at hundreds of millions of American telephone records, and that was disclosed back in 2005, and that was way beyond the pale. Let's talk about what Obama's done. So the first step, the first standard is this has to be essential, a very important, critical something. And I think when we're talking about a terrorist who's putting bombs in his underwear sent by Al-Qaeda from Yemen to blow up a plane, I think we can all agree the government has that met that standard. It's critical. It's important. Number two, they have to have looked everywhere else before they go after the press. And the Attorney General has said that they went and they looked, and then he gave examples of, 500 places they looked first. Whenever you have these leak investigations, see, someone leaked to the Associated Press that the CIA was very successful in capturing this guy and foiling this Al-Qaeda plot. And when that happened, a number of Republicans complained, and they said, oh, Obama is just leaking this information to make himself look good, because the CIA did a really good thing. They actually managed to catch this guy, discover the new bomb, and that's why we have different detectors in airports than the old metal detectors, because the bomb wasn't made of metal. But they said, hey, Obama, you just leaked this for political advantage, and it Attorney General Eric Holder, you were the leaker. So what happened is the Attorney General said, hey, wait a minute, I know you're accusing me of this. I had nothing to do with this. We'll do an investigation. I won't lead the investigation since you're accusing me of it. I'll appoint this guy, Deputy Attorney General Cole, and James Cole is going to look into this, and he's going to do the investigation. So James Cole said it was critical. That's number one. Two, he looked everywhere else except for the press first. But it's very hard to do that because generally leakers don't admit, hey, I'm the leaker. It's very hard to do that. Number three, they have to make it narrow. She can't go in and tap all the phones of every person in the press. The government in this case says they got about 20 phone numbers from the Associated Press. They did it within a two-month period, and they didn't listen into the phone calls. What they did is they got the phone numbers of the people that were called. So whether that's narrow or not, that's an arguable point, but I think that one can
let me ask, because for some it might be confusing, because it is to me. They asked the, or they got the Associated Press, they got the information from the Associated Press, which means they had to inquire from someone to get that information, correct?
Well, someone leaked it to the Associated Press. Someone in government
their
top secret clearance.
Right, exactly.
The AP.
Right.
And in fact, like I said, the Republicans were demanding, find the leaker.
Absolutely.
It's really hard to do that without going after the press.
But I hear you, Ark. I agree 100%. Let me ask you, years ago, and I know some people are like, oh, this reeks of McCarthyism, and but you probably remember a pair called Julius and Ethel Rosenberg.
Sure.
And they were called spies because they leaked information to the commies, the Russians back in the day, right? To the USSR, right? To the, the Wall of Steel, Soviet Union, public enemy number one for America, or international enemy number one. When there could be possibly or potentially be a leak within the government, perhaps in the CIA, if they are negligent enough to leak classified information that could affect national security, and negatively to the press. God knows who else they're talking to. They could be talking to an Al-Qaeda operative.
Right. So the answer is that the leaker can be in big trouble. I argued that Vice President Cheney disclosed Valerie Plame's name, a secret CIA operative,
yep.
and in doing so, he had basically come close to treason. I mean, he had risked her life and the life of her people in disclosing her name, and that's why that, frankly, they went after, they put Judith Miller in jail for a number of years to find out who leaked the information, and we all know what happened there. I won't repeat that. But it is a serious question. The main difference, though, and what the First Amendment protects is you can go after the leaker, but you can't touch the leakee. The reporter who gets the information can always print it. That's what Daniel Ellsberg did with the Pentagon Papers. That's what Robert Novak did when he got Valerie Plame's name. The reporter can never be prosecuted, but the person who leaked the information, you know, Bradley Manning, may face the death penalty for his leaks. Definitely they can be gone after. So just to mention the fourth point, which in the four points you're supposed to look at, and the one where I think the Associated Press has the better argument, the fourth point is you're supposed to notify the press organization, unless it's an emergency, to ask them to deal with them, to compromise, to try and negotiate with them, but they have to know in advance, because if they disagree, they have the right to take it to a court. This is the thing the Justice Department didn't do, and this is the thing where I think they were wrong, because the only time you wouldn't notify the press is when you think the information might go away. You might want to grab a reporter's notebook, because if you don't, that reporter might destroy her or his notebook. But in this case, there were phone records kept by phone companies. They weren't going anywhere. They could have told the phone company, save this information, don't destroy it, and then notify the AP and given the AP a chance to go to court. And the question really is whether it was urgent. And given that this, they caught the bomber and the AP put the story out about a year after they caught the bomber, I don't know what the urgency was. Now, Eric Holder says it was really urgent. I think eventually a court will decide. But if it wasn't urgent, then I think the Justice Department did overreach. They should have given the AP a chance to negotiate with them and possibly challenge it in court. So there I think they made a mistake.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have one more question on AP, and then we'll get to Benghazi. I'm Leslie Marshall. Mark Levine is our guest. And if we have time, we'll share your tweets. But I've got my questions for him as well. Hang on. Keep listening to the only true democracy in talk radio. Back to you right after this. And we're back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. Our guest is Mark Levine, host of the Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus, sitting in for me here tomorrow night. And he's an attorney, and he's done so much, but I want to get to these questions. Mark, thank you for holding. I do have to do this first, though. My apologies. I want to tell you guys about GoToMyPC. It is awesome. I use it. It's by Citrix, and you can use it because I'm going to give you a 45-day free trial opportunity just for you, my listeners, so hang on. But I want to tell you why I use GoToMyPC by Citrix. It allows me to securely access my entire office computer wherever I am. I can use a Mac, a PC, a tablet, or a smartphone. And so when I use GoToMyPC, PC, when I'm not in my office, it's like I was right there sitting at my desk. I can be at a coffee shop, an airport, a hotel, a restaurant. I can even be home. GoToMyPC is so easy to use. It sets up in minutes, and it gives me, Leslie Marshall, the freedom to work from anywhere at any time. GoToMyPC works off your mobile device. So try it free today for yourself. GoToMyPC, a special 45-day free trial just for you. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Leslie, and then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com, try it free, promo code Leslie. Mark, thank you for holding, and welcome back. Mark Levine is our guest. We were talking about Associated Press. A couple of things. One, you said the laws will decide, or the law will decide. Do you think this will make its way to a court?
I think the Associated Press is going to sue the government and ask for the materials back and maybe in that way bring it before a court. Again, there is no press shield law, but the Justice Department has said it is committed to follow these guidelines, and I think the fact they didn't inform the AP in advance may be a violation of those guidelines. But they're going to make an argument that this was extraordinary, that lives were at stake, and they didn't. And if that's true, they didn't have to tell the AP in advance. So that's something that will probably be decided behind closed doors before a court.
Patriot Act cover any of this or no?
Well, the Patriot Act allows gave the government wider ability to do these sort of letter subpoenas where they send a letter to, it's what the Bush administration definitely used to in order to get records, like mm-hmm. phone records and so forth.
Right.
But really, the answer is this is a First Amendment issue. So any law that allows it is trumped by, of course, the Constitution, which trumps all laws. There is no law that protects the AP other than the Constitution. As I said, there's no press shield law. However, the Constitution's a pretty powerful law. It's the most powerful. And the question before the courts will be whether the First Amendment jurisprudence protects reporters in this particular incident. And I think it's going to be very fact-specific. It's going to be a question of what exactly the government alleges the AP had and how that could affect national security.
Benghazi, we have a lot of information that's come out, emails, and now the White House said, hey, you want the emails, you got them. John Boehner, you know, says, you know, we're not letting this go. To me, this is nothing. This is nothing but trying to attack Hillary Rodham Clinton because she's going to be the Democratic nominee, thank you God, in 2016. And then, in addition, they don't have anybody that A, will run against her, or B, can run against her. Their party is fragmented. They have no, not only no unity, they have no message. They don't even know what the hell the Republican Party stands for anymore. But when these emails are released, is John Boehner just getting way too much sun in those tanning booths, or what's going on? Because what I read is that the CIA crossed things out and said, these are the words you're to use. White House tweaked a couple of those, and that's the message the American people got.
The IRS, the AP, and the Benghazi have one thing in common. All three scandals involve low-level, non-political career officials, whether at the Internal Revenue Service, whether at the Justice Department, or whether at the State Department or the CIA, career people having disagreements or doing something wrong and being blamed on the political higher-ups. If you want to argue that maybe there needs to be better management, maybe you can make that argument, but the White House is not supposed to be looking into the IRS or the AP. When it comes to the the State Department, you can make maybe a slightly better argument, but of course the Republicans were the ones who didn't finance embassy security to begin with. The main thing that was done wrong in Benghazi, and the thing that needs to be fixed, and I think has been fixed, is we need to have really strong security for all our diplomatic missions. As we talked about, the Republican Congress cut aid to that security, but no question it should have been there. Whether the talking points were changed or whatever seems to me to be really a lot of ado made about virtually nothing. One of the things we did learn, by the way, is that the thing they complained about, Susan Rice said it was because of a political demonstration, because of a movie on YouTube. It turns out that is what they believed, and that was in all the drafts of the talking points. That part wasn't changed. The part that was changed, honestly, is because the CIA and the State Department are mad at each other. Basically, the State Department blames this on the CIA. The CIA blames this on the State Department, and you can kind of understand why. It wasn't a consulate. It was a diplomatic mission. Basically, we came in under a covert plan because we were trying to topple Gaddafi. We went into Benghazi because that's where the rebels were. We set up something secretly. Our ambassador, Chris Stevens, a hero, came in. We weren't going to tell Gaddafi about it, so it was a secret mission. The annex was a CIA.
But speaking of Ambassador Stevens going from Tripoli to Benghazi at the behest of Hillary Rodham Clinton, former Secretary of State, some people, you know, think that this was a great idea that she had. It all went awry. Of course, Republicans want to blame it on her because she is going to run, it would seem so, in 2016. But, you know, that she, in a sense, led Ambassador Stevens to his slaughter.
Chris Stevens wanted to do this. Chris Stevens supported very much the rebels. Chris Stevens had very close connections to Libya. He took the risk. He risked his own life. He paid the ultimate price. But this was something that he wanted to do, and I think it was the right thing. The only thing that was wrong, in my view, was that after Gaddafi was toppled, we should have changed this secretive CIA annex into an official consulate. Then we could bring in the Marines to defend it, and then it would have been well defended. It wasn't well defended because bureaucratic red tape didn't recognize. We didn't need a covert thing in there, particularly because it wasn't even covert. All the Libyans knew it was there. Everyone, Al-Qaeda knew it was there. The only people that didn't know it was there was Gaddafi, and he was gone, maybe, so he probably knew, and the American people. This was a covert operation that should have become an official State Department consulate. Had it done so in time, it would have been well defended. But that's why the CIA and the State Department are sniping at each other, because the State Department says, that was your thing. You CIA, you should have taken care of those people. And the CIA said, no, it was more like a consulate, you should have taken care of those people. And that's why they changed the word from consulate to diplomatic mission.
Yeah, but the other thing is, really, I mean, why did they even say video until they had confirmation of that? Because I understand not saying it was a terrorist act until they had confirmation of that. But why not say, we actually are investigating, you know, the cause of this. We don't want to be premature, because, you know, you don't want to, hey, if it is a terrorist act, Al-Qaeda wants credit, and you don't piss them off by not saying it is. And if it isn't, you don't want to anger the Libyan president. We already had the Libyan government and their police screw up the crime scene.
So here's what's going on. There's an attack. Four Americans are dead. Immediately, everyone wants to know what happened. The best intelligence at that moment was that it was because of the video. Why? Because
and who gave? Morning, but whose intelligence or stupidity now was that?
No. Recall what happened that morning. In that morning, the video had provoked an attack on our embassy in Cairo. People forget the early attack on September 11th. That was provoked by the video. The people actually stormed and breached the outer wall. They didn't get inside the embassy because it was well defended. But that, because of the spontaneous demonstration...
That can't be with a weak president and a secretary of state that wants all the diplomats to die overseas.
Well, here's the thing. Because that exactly is what happened in Cairo, they presumed wrongly that that's what happened in Benghazi, and they did discover the truth for a few weeks. But originally, that's what they thought had happened. And I don't think it was any conspiracy. I think that's what they thought happened, and they turned out to be wrong.
Prediction as to how this will come out. Will this just go away, or will they get there? You know what? We don't have time. But you know what? Maybe we'll have to have you back to do that. And Mark's going to be on tomorrow night, so be sure to tune in. In the meantime, follow him on Twitter, at Mark Levine Talk. That's at Mark Levine Talk. And be sure to follow him on Twitter to tune in to him sitting in for me, Leslie Marshall, here tomorrow. And also check out his website so you can check out his program, The Inside Scoop, as well as The Raucous Caucus, marklevinetalk.com. That's MarkLevineTalk.